You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
630 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.
Oilers tonight. Final 22 minutes, good. First 38 minutes, bad. And they lose 4-2 in Detroit. That's the quick summary in case you don't have time to listen to the whole show tonight. But that's really how it broke down. The Oilers with a lot of energy starting late in the second period. A lot of chances. They scored two goals. They made it interesting. They had some goal-mouth scrambles that just went wide that could have tied the game, but ultimately not good enough. Detroit was no doubt the superior team, like I said, in the first 37, 38 minutes and for the game overall. Stuart Skinner started in goal for the Oilers, just his second NHL start, his first of the season, and he played really well, though unfortunately he was involved in one of the biggest mistakes of the game, though prior to that, Rob Brown. He was the big reason why the Oilers weren't down by more.
Well, if you just track his stopping of the puck, excellent. His playing of the puck, well, he had a Mikko Koskinen moment as he went to move the puck behind the net, and he just fanned on it. He had the right idea. He knew where he wanted to go with it. But when he went to move the puck, you could just see the toe of his stick just fluttered a little bit. Puck came off completely wrong, and was bouncing back out in front. He's tried to stop it, got his pocket picked, and it's an open net goal for Larkin, which unfortunately proved to be the game winner. Having said that, looking at his body of work tonight, to me, he was the best Oiler on the ice by far. The only reason the Oilers had an opportunity to get a point late in the game was because of the way he played through the first 38 minutes. So it was not a great start for the Oilers, and when I say start, I'm talking 40 minutes.
Yep.
Too little, too late. They pushed in the third, but again, the Detroit Red Wings, all they were trying to do was hold on because they stopped pushing forward because they had the lead, and they did just enough, got good goaltending. Both goaltenders were excellent tonight. Unfortunately, the Oilers needed a perfect game to finish, and they weren't able to accomplish that.
Yeah, Nedeljkovic made some good saves as well. He came up with a sprawling poke check on Zach Hyman, who had a shorthanded chance in the third period. But, yeah, really for Edmonton, they were out-energized, I mean, yep. for lack of a better term. The shots in the first period were 16-9 Detroit. That shot clock might even flatter the Oilers a little bit. I mean, they had a couple of chances in the first period, but it wasn't just – I mean, Dave Tippett talks a lot about – he doesn't pay so much attention to the shot clock. He more counts whatever you want to call them, grade A chances, mm-hmm. high danger chances. And I would say that a lot of those Detroit shots in the first period and some that didn't even go on net were of the high danger variety. I mean, yeah, they had some off the rush, but they had a lot of scrums where Skinner had to sprawl down and hold steady. Let's go back to Detroit. Here's head coach Dave Tippett.
Didn't play well enough to win. We didn't win.
Your goaltender in his second career start played pretty well, I would say.
Played very well, yeah. Was lots of pucks coming at him in the first period. He played very well.
Is he the best player on your team tonight?
Well, he gave us a chance to win. Made enough saves to give us a chance to win.
You know, when he allows that third goal, he even said it was not a great play by him, obviously. But the way he responded, the way your team responded, is that something that you kind of like to see from him?
Yeah, he played well. It's a puck error that happens now and then, but he played very well in the net.
How would you explain or justify or what have you the start from your team tonight?
We didn't play well enough. Sometimes you don't play well. We didn't play well enough.
We'll take a question from Zoom. We'll go to Jason Greger. I think they're trying to get somebody on Zoom there.
Play well. Was it,
okay, let's see if we have it. Here we go.
Was it just a lack of energy? Was it an execution? What specifically did you think was maybe lacking tonight in the first 40 minutes anyway that you didn't really have earlier in the season?
You just named it all right there. You just answered your own question. No, not enough urgency, not enough execution. They came out and played a desperate first period, and we didn't match that level, and we got behind.
And do you have an update on Zach?
No, not yet. I haven't talked to the trainers yet.
Okay, we'll go to Jim Matheson.
Hello, Dave.
Yeah.
Anytime you fall down three goals, even to a team like Detroit, were you just playing with fire? You fell down 4-1 last game. You fell down 3-0 tonight. Is it
last game? Last game was way different than this game. Last game, we were down 4-1, and we were in the game. Tonight, we were down 3-0. Deserved to be down 3-0.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Okay. What about Mark Spector?
Dave, when you lose, I'd like to just ask you about Zach. He gets a chance on the second line. He's been playing pretty well. He had bad injuries last year. He's playing real well. Just wanted to see him go out early. What does that do to your whole lineup when you lose that?
Takes you out of some rhythm. You know, you have a game plan going in and takes you out of some rhythm. So that's, it's unfortunate. I don't think it's too bad, but we'll see where it is tomorrow.
And you didn't sound like you ever wanted to go away from that third line. It seemed like that's something you wanted to play. I guess, did you feel that it was time to, I guess I'd ask you why you felt it was finally time to shake that up?
Yeah, they've been very average for the last two or three games. So we decided we're going to shake it up a little bit and going on the road with, we were going to try Ryan and Yamo together because they penalty killed together and see if we could get a few more plays made, but Cass goes out of the lineup early, so we didn't get really a chance to see what we were looking for.
After your power play has been so effective, what was the difference tonight?
Didn't shoot the puck enough.
Detroit's been rebuilding for years. What do you think of their club this year?
I'm more worried about my club tonight.
Thank you. That concludes today's
game. All right. Thanks.
Okay, that's where this head coach, Dave Tippett, a man of few words after the loss to the Detroit Red Wings 4-2. The Wings win it, and as we are talking about, not a lot of energy from the Oilers, especially through the first two periods, and just flat out didn't play well enough, and we'll discuss that as we move along tonight. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown in the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center. As I was saying before we brought Tippett on, the first period, the puck just around the Oilers net so much, and Skinner, yes, he had to make a couple saves off shots from the slot or shots on rushes, but just jam plays where he's holding those pads against the post, trying to find the puck, and just not getting a lot of help with the puck being cleared.
Well, most of the Detroit opportunities came on the Oilers turning the puck over. Turning the puck over inside their blue line, turning the puck over inside their side of the red line. And when you turn the puck over in your own zone, your players are going offensively, and they're leaving the zone, and they're not expecting there to be turnovers. So now when you turn the puck over and the puck is in your crease area, you're usually outnumbered because your forwards are usually up in the play expecting a normal pass, and when you turn it over, now they're chasing. And when they're chasing, there's that split second in front of the net where the opposition, tonight Detroit, has two or three whacks while they're outmanning you. And you saw that time and time again, and that's what was so big about the start for Skinner, is a lot of those chances are when the others are outnumbered. And he's had to make not one but two saves or three saves, and he was very, very good at it. So it was a nice start. Like, he was a feel-good story in the preseason, and a lot of people were hoping that he would play in the last seven or eight games or whatever Koskinen started, but Koskinen had been playing so well, you're thinking, well, why? But with Smith hopefully coming back from injury soon, Skinner's going down to the minors, so now the team's like, you know what, you've been a good soldier, you've been up here for 3 weeks, let's give you a start and see what you can do. And he came in, and he was excellent. To me, the two stars, the two best players in this game were the two goaltenders, both young goalies that stood on their heads and at times were the difference for their team having a chance to win a game, and for the Detroit Red Wings winning the hockey game. So Skinner, I think the Oilers organization's got to feel good. The improvement, I mean, from the two starts that Skinner's made at the National Hockey League level, the one last year against Ottawa and tonight, night and day. Like, that was a completely different goaltender in this hockey game than we saw last year against Ottawa. So good on him. It means he's doing what he's supposed to be doing in the minors.
Yeah, both games he plays, he faces 38 shots as well. So, you know, he wasn't, he didn't have quiet nights in there. Yeah, and we're going to hear from Skinner in a few minutes. Just, and you know, Rob, if it was a veteran goalie, I don't know how you feel. If it was a veteran goalie that fumbled that puck, I feel like maybe I'd be harder on him. But just with him getting thrown in there. And again, it was a game in which he was up to that point. Well, for the whole game, the Oilers' best player. And it's not as if, oh, well, the Oilers were ahead 3-2 and he handed Detroit the tying goal. I mean, the Oilers had scored and hadn't done
well,
much to that point.
In all honesty, I have no problem with the play because it was a muffed shot. It was a muffed pass. He didn't throw it into the wrong place. He didn't misread the forechecker. He wasn't late getting to it. Connor McDavid tonight had three or four times where he muffed passes. Leon did. Bouchard twice missed the puck. He tried shooting twice. Both times he missed the puck. So it happens all the time in games. Unfortunately, when it's your goalie that fans on a pass, it's much more noticeable because it usually creates, A, either a goal or, B, a very good scoring chance. The ones where fans get on Koskinen, sometimes it's just he misreads the play and throws it where he's not supposed to, or he's late coming out, or something along that line. Everything was right about Skinner, and he was putting the puck where it was supposed to go, but you can just see when he shoots it, it just goes off the end of his stick, off the toe of his stick, and then he gets the wrong angle off the backboard. So a bad break, a bad bounce, and unfortunately ends up being the game-winning goal for Detroit, but it wouldn't have been the game-winning goal for Detroit because Detroit would have had four or five more goals if it was not for Skinner. He was excellent in the start.
4-2. Detroit wins it. That means a $200 donation to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous, courtesy James H. Brown and Associates. Unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitment, unrivaled results. They're given $100 every time the Oilers score throughout the season. And it's usually been much more than 200 most of the year, but the Oilers simply didn't have enough going on this evening. And as Dave Tippett referenced, things had to get changed around earlier. Zach Cassian, lower body injury, so we don't know how bad it's going to be. Maybe we'll find out more tomorrow.
Well, Dave Tippett didn't seem real concerned, so hopefully that's a sign that when he saw him after the first, or when the trainer said after the first or second, that it's a tweak or something along that line. There's never a good time for an injury for a player, but Cassian has suffered so many injuries over the last couple of years. His seasons have been derailed by them. He had been playing well. He was getting a chance on the second line. That's where you feel for him. But it's one of those things. Next guy steps up. Who's going to fill in for that spot? It's an open audition right now, and McLeod's getting his opportunity in the lineup. Is Turris going to come back in now, and will he be put? Maybe he moves up in the lineup. But someone's going to have to step up and do the job that Cassian was doing. The hard thing is there's not a lot of guys that can play the same style of game as Cassian, so it gets a little harder for the Oilers to fill that spot.
That'll be our adjustment of the game for Pro Drain Techs for peace of mind down the line. Yeah, and again, we don't know how severe it's going to be for Cassian. When a guy doesn't come back, that always has you a little bit worried. And we know Devin Shore is out 4 to 6 weeks. So, I mean, we knew it was going to happen,
yeah.
Right? Injuries usually hit you one way or the other. And so this shakes things around because, as we've discussed a lot, the Oilers have kind of had a top 10. Mm-hmm. When it's come to forwards, the top three lines have been generally intact. I know Cassian, you know, missed a couple games earlier in the year, but generally they've had a top 10, with Shore being, I'm going to call him the 10th guy, because
yep.
He was pretty solid as the fourth line center. So now two of those guys are out. So McLeod's up from the minors, and now, you know, Sevier's been a healthy scratch most of the season. If Cassian's out, he keeps playing. So, you know, now the depth is tested. Maybe it's not necessarily your scoring depth, but now you got to change some units that you were pretty comfortable with for most of the first 10 games.
Well, the Oilers really have a top five that they're really comfortable with. Yamamoto, they're not sold on yet. Simply, I mean, he was moved off that line tonight. He's been benched earlier. He's just got the 2 points, I believe, on the season. So it's been a slow start for him. If you were to move someone like a Fogle up, because it was going to be Cassie, and if you move Fogle up, well, now your bottom six is a little barren. Mm-hmm. It's not what you were expecting. If you throw a Turris up there, well, now your second line's not as strong. So it's funny. It's Shore and Cassian, and that's not the household names of a Nugent Hopkins or Dreisaitl or McDavid, but those two players are permanent fixtures on your team, in your lineup each and every night. When they're missing, all of a sudden, depth becomes a difference. Depth becomes something that's much more dicey. And, well, I guess now you're going to see Kenneth Sevier play a regular shift over a period of games. Is McLeod going to be able to make that jump? Turris, is there a chance he can move up in the lineup? These are all things that are going to have to be answered, but I guess the bottom line is you hope that this is just a tweak and Cassian's back sooner than later. But whenever you leave a game and you're playing 3 and 4, usually the next two games, probably very questionable.
So coming into tonight, the Oilers were one of two Alberta-based NHL teams to have only been beaten once in regulation time. So the Oilers suffer their second regulation loss. The Calgary Flames are currently on the ice against the San Jose Sharks as we check the scoreboard for Edmonton Trailer. Looking for parts, service, rentals, or new and used semi-trailers, head to edmontontrailer.com. The shot clock is not close, 23-9 for Calgary. The game is close. It's 1-1, Flames and San Jose Sharks. We'll keep you updated on that one. I can also tell you, in overtime, the Blues and Jets are tied 2-2 early in the third. Chicago, with only two wins on the year, up 2-0 on Pittsburgh. Late in the first, Anaheim leads Vancouver 1-0. Kraken up 1-0 on the Golden Knights in the first period. Boston holds off Ottawa for a 3-2 win. The Kings beat the Canadiens 3-2 in overtime. Kempe gets the game winner there. Also in overtime, the Hurricanes over the Lightning 2-1. So Carolina remains just the one loss on the season. The Devils, how about this, gets 7 on the Panthers. 7-3, New Jersey takes that one. And, of course, right here on 630 CHED, Red Wings 4, Oilers 2. The Oil Kings lost in overtime tonight in Saskatoon, 4-3, the final. Okay, you can get us on the hotline powered by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way, 780-496-0063. But first, back to Detroit. Here's goaltender Stuart Skinner.
Much better on this one. I felt more like I just played my game. I just went out there, just did what I normally do. It also felt good being able to get games before I play. I felt much better.
Obviously, you kept your team in the game for large stretches. Obviously, the third one's probably one you want to have back. Can you maybe explain what happened there?
Just fanned on it. Hard fan. Bad timing. Yeah, if that didn't happen, we'd probably potentially still be playing. So obviously it sucks. It's a big goal, but at the same time, it happens. Move forward and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Did you feel like you had much of a chance on the first two?
I feel like I always have a chance on any goal. They played really hard tonight. I thought we played well. We made some really good defensive plays and just a couple bounces didn't go our way.
So I think your first game was a really high-scoring game against Ottawa last year. Can you kind of assess how this one maybe was a little bit different than that game?
I think I just played better. I also think that both teams just played hard defensively tonight. I think it was just a good, solid game. And,
after you allow a goal like that, the third one I'm talking about, does it, you feel like you kind of have to batten down the hatches to allow your team to continue to have a hope in the game?
Definitely. Believe it or not, I've made a worse play before in my career, and we ended up winning the game. So I just kind of look back to that, and, there's always a chance to come back and win a game. And, we battled really hard in the third period, and we almost got it.
Did you feel like it was coming, a comeback in full?
Definitely, yeah. Especially after he scored. That was a huge time to score a goal. Going into the third period, we had a lot of momentum, and then we got another one pretty quick by Dable, a nice little 5-hole. So, I felt like we had a really good chance.
What does a start like this do, aside from the one obviously we're talking about, but what does the start as a whole do for you, your confidence and potential game going forward?
Yeah, I think it just... for me, I feel like I belonged, and I think that's huge for me. I think playing my first game is a little shaky. So after this game, I just feel a lot better about my game.
Stuart, when did you find out that you were going to start?
Found out 2 days ago.
2 days ago? Yeah. So what did the mental preparation look like? Did you try to change anything up, or did you try to keep things routine and the same?
Try to keep things the same way. I mean, I've been preparing for this for, you know, quite some time now. I mean, the whole summer worth, preseason, got to kind of get back in flow of games, got to play a couple games in Baco, so I felt like I was game ready. So I think that was a huge help going into, you know, my second NHL start.
Throughout the preseason and tonight, it looked like, as you mentioned, you were a lot more comfortable between the pipes. As a big goaltender, is sometimes like less is more in terms of movement in the crease? Is that something that you've been working on maybe?
Absolutely. I think that's, you know, for any type of goalie, it's, you know, the game, especially in the NHL level, it's much faster, fast pace, good shooters, good game. So it's better to just simplify things. I learned that a little bit the hard way in the first game, but I think just, you know, that one game was a huge learning lesson, and I was able to, you know, simplify and, you know, make some saves.
I just wonder, you know, you had quite a long layoff in between games, going back to, you know, your first couple starts against Bakersfield. How do you kind of mentally and physically prepare for getting ready for a start when you're not sure exactly when that's going to come up until recently?
Yeah, I think, well, on the mental side of things, I think going into every practice, going into every, you know, I got to back up pretty well every game since I've been here. So just almost pretending like you're got to go in, so that you kind of keep that mental preparation, you know, sharp. And I think physically, I think, you know, my practice habits, my workouts in the gym, I think Schwartzy has done a fantastic job with, you know, maneuvering the three goalies and to get, you know, shots during the practice. So it's been, yeah, I think we did a great job as an organization to prepare.
Yeah, and the mental part of the game, that's something I know you've been kind of preparing and working toward Bakersfield. Tell me a little bit about that and how you've kind of gotten to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think mental preparation is huge, especially for a goaltender. I think being able to get, you know, I think I got to start 5 games, 3 in the preseason and then 2 in Baco. So I think just being able to get that and, you know, kind of get into a rhythm, get into a routine helped.
All right, that's Stuart Skinner. I'm always curious how athletes deal with adversity, bad moments in games. And I kind of appreciate what Skinner said. He told himself, well, you've made worse plays and you've still won the game. So no sense acting dejected about it. You still got to play.
Well, most players in the National Hockey League at some time has made some bonehead play, whether it be in junior, college, pro, minor pro. We've all done it. The best have made big mistakes. And yeah, you realize it's just one mistake. It's one play. And it's not, you just don't let it define you as a player in that game. So tonight, I mean, that mistake was made, but we're talking about the number of saves he made, the big plays that he made. And there was a time it was 3-0 where it was a 2-on-1 where the player Fabry, it seemed like he had a half an hour to set up and shoot the puck. Again, another great save by Skinner. So yeah, a mistake was made, and I think it was Sekera that said it years ago that if no mistakes were made in the game of hockey, every game would be 0-0. And so every goal that was scored tonight, there was how many goals? It was 4-2, 6 goals were scored. So at least 6 big mistakes happened in tonight's hockey game. The only one that you really noticed big time was the Skinner one because it happened so close to the net. But I think that the Oilers organization is going to be pretty excited about the play of Skinner tonight going forward, whether it's this year, next year, or whatnot. They know he's capable of playing at the National Hockey League level.
All right, Oilers lose 4-2 in Detroit, so their record now 9-2 on the season. We'll go to the CertainTeed hotline. Want to hear what Drew thinks after Drew. You know, Rob and I saying it was a good 22-minute game by the Oilers. The 38-minute game that started wasn't very good. What do you think tonight?
Yeah, honestly, another slow start. But you know what? That crocker pot that we got going right now in development, that's a nice stew we got going. So I was actually pleasantly surprised. Obviously, I had the one gaff, but wanted to really touch on tonight, that fourth line. Like, the pass to Prince, Perlini, I mean, geez, did he look like an all-star in preseason. I don't know if this is just another Carmi situation. I'm not talking Mike, his brother, obviously, right? And preseason will fool a guy. I just got his jersey, and now he looks like, you know what, maybe we should be subbing him out. But McLeod, he's on a different cloud, I'll tell you that much. He was his speed, it looks a lot better on that fourth line. Looks like he can obviously move it. Just his wingers obviously just drag him down, right? So slow start, though. I don't like the way that the boys on the road right now are going that slow. Obviously, they have the power and finesse to get those goals late, but is it too little too late? I don't know.
Well, it definitely was today, Drew. Thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, Rob and I, we'll talk about your Perlini point, because Rob and I were talking about him during the game. I think I said, wouldn't it be, this would be a good time for him to finally get one after getting all those in the preseason. Look, we got to assess the player thoroughly. Mm-hmm. He was not in the NHL last year.
Nope.
That tends to happen for a reason. You know, that the perception of him that he wasn't able to crack a roster last season. The Oilers gave him a chance. I always say this about the preseason, especially after, you know, covering the NHL closely now for several years. It's no guarantee things are going to carry over. A lot of times you are facing competition that is quote-unquote inferior to what you'll see in the NHL regular season. But if you're a coach or GM picking your team and a guy can't score or do well against non-NHL competition, you're not going to give him a chance to do it against NHL competition. So I think that's part of it for Perlini. And then again, Drew touched on it. I mean, you don't get the ice time once your full lineup. And
well, Perlini made the team because he was the best choice at that position for what the Oilers had. It was between him and Benson in the preseason. It wasn't even close. And both Benson and Perlini have played in the preseason, but people keep forgetting. The Edmonton Oilers, with Connor and Leon, they don't play a four-lined game.
Right.
They don't. The fourth line, if they get 7 minutes, that's a pretty good night. And that's what Perlini and McLeod play tonight, was 7 minutes. The Oilers' fourth line is never going to play because Connor and Leon are always going to be 22-minute-a-night players. And if the game, if they're trailing in a game, well, then they become 24, 25-minute game-type players. So the expectations that your fourth line player is going to do anything is, I mean, there's a lot of hope for players that are getting out there very limited times. And as for Perlini being dragging McLeod down, McLeod did not have a good preseason at all. And again, tonight was just, I mean, really honestly, not really noticeable. And to the point where the coaching staff, when they shortened their bench, McLeod was not one of the guys going out there. Sevier ended up, I believe, playing more than he played 2 minutes more than McLeod. So there was more faith in Sevier tonight than there was in Ryan McLeod. So Perlini, to me, he's not going to get the same type of opportunities to score as he did in the preseason, because in the preseason, they rolled lines. There were games where Connor and Leon didn't dress. And when they don't dress, all of a sudden the fourth line goes from playing 6 minutes.
Yeah, you're the second line.
Yeah, now you're playing 12 minutes, 13 minutes. So the fourth line is what it is. It's a line that's more or less taking up some minutes, and you want them
don't
to be
minus.
Even. Just be even. Don't take a penalty. Don't get scored on. If you do that, then they or this top three lines should be able to win hockey games for them. So Perlini did nothing wrong in the game, but, I mean, it wasn't real noticeable. But, again, it's 7 minutes is not a lot of ice time.
Well, and that's why, like we were saying earlier, the potential concern to me is Shore's out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yes,
what
now,
if Cassian's out 4 to 6 weeks? Then are you back to relying on basically four or five guys to score all
the
goals?
Are these players good enough to play? Is a Perlini good enough to play 12 minutes a night? Is a McLeod good enough to play 13 minutes a night? Those are things that now, if those guys are playing those type of minutes and they're not doing anything, that's a different story. But in 7 minutes, don't take a penalty, don't get scored on. This is not a team that wants to run four lines, because if you run four lines, that means Connor and Leon are playing less.
So 4-2, Detroit takes it. The Nuge does not get a point tonight, including not getting an assist for the first time since the first game of the season. So Don gets a $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. Excitement bet on it, because he took the under for our Set the Line on the Faceoff show. 1.5 over under assists by Nugent Hopkins, and Don taking the under, so he gets the gift card tonight. All right, Dave, Graydon, and Jim, you guys are up next in the batting order. We got to call a quick timeout. Oilers fall.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
4-2, this is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
pinned by Raymond. He'll go to the right wing corner. He'll center it to Bertuzzi. Good save made by Skinner. Puck on the right side. Bertuzzi to the blue line. Letty in the middle. His shot. Nice save by Skinner. That was redirected in front of the net as that went off of Larkin. Puck on the left point. Letty walking in. He'll shoot it. Good save by Skinner. Got it with a left pad.
All right, those are the saves of the game by Stuart Skinner, courtesy Reface Magic. Transform your kitchen with ease. See the magic at refacemagic.ca. Skinner stops 35, but the Wings score three on him and get an empty netter to take down the Oilers 4-2 tonight. All Detroit through the first almost two periods. Jesse Puljujärvi finally got the Oilers on the board in the final minute of the second. McDavid scored in the first minute of the third, and then the Oilers, a pretty good third period with a lot of pressure, pulled the goalie, had a couple of chances, could not cash it in, and Moritz Seider gets an empty netter to close it out for Detroit. Got a text here. This is a good point, because we talked about this more last year, but I'm glad this person is bringing it up. Can you think of any game this year where the Oilers had a strong start to the game? Well, I think there were a couple.
My memory's not good.
My memory's always going. But I mean, that's a fair comment. And yep. I brought this a few times last year, that even though the Oilers had a good record, their goalie helped them. Smith and Koskinen had to be really good in a lot of first periods last year. I mean, just off the top of my head, I mean, they beat Arizona 5-1, did not have a good first period.
No.
But Arizona is not a great team. They didn't have a good first period against Anaheim, eventually won the game. But they had a good first period against Calgary, from what I remember.
No, the one at the very beginning of the game, beginning of the year, Calgary was outplaying them badly until Anderson took the stupid four-minute penalty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Calgary Flames had a number of great chances. We're out shooting the Oilers quite badly early in that game.
Philly, not great. The game in Vancouver, that might have been their best all-around game of the
yes.
year. I mean, they didn't score a ton, but they controlled that game.
The Oilers get better as the game goes on.
Yeah.
It's
and
pretty...
I'm glad that texture brought that up, because I would like them to be a more assertive team early in games.
Well, the reason why, the Oilers, if they were to get into the lead, that means teams have to take chances. And that's something you don't want to do against the Edmonton Oilers, because if you trade chances with them, they've got the better players, the more skilled players, the guys that don't need four or five chances to score goals. Whereas if the other team gets the lead, well, then they can sit back and they can play a much more conservative game, which is not as strong for the Oilers. So, yeah, the Oilers, to be a championship team, and that's their goal. Their goal, I mean, winning divisions, winning conference, those are great. But you always talk about playoffs. You want to be a good playoff team. To be a good playoff team and win championships, you got to be much better. You got to play 60 minutes. The teams that go to the into the Final Four and into the finals, those are pretty complete teams that you're not. They're not finding themselves back 3-0, 4-1 early in hockey games. Because when you're in the Final Four, if you're down 3-0 or 4-1, those aren't the teams that you're going to come back on.
Yeah.
Those teams are just too strong.
Okay, let's go back to the CertainTeed hotline. We have Dave standing by. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Reed.
Hey.
I couldn't get to a TV tonight. I was trucking, so I really appreciated your broadcast. And that was good to hear Skinner had a good start. I was really pulling for him to do so.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, I know you don't like crowd noise and music and all that.
No, I like crowd noise. I don't need all the promotions between okay. whistles and all the little games. I don't mind crowd noise, but I know what you're getting at.
Well, tonight though, the crowd noise was interfering with the broadcast terribly. Like, I'll call you and Rob the second line. Second line was great. Every time you guys came on, it was clear. But first line, Cam and Bob, they let the crowd noise dominate. It was interfering. I thought my radio was bad, and then I put it on the radio app things, and no, it didn't make any difference. And then the commercials come on, they were good. But anyway, I think maybe your technical support, the third line guys, should be sent down or something.
Well, guys are going to be put on waivers tomorrow, apparently. Some of their technical dudes.
I don't know. If it was just location. It hasn't been that bad before, but it was like 2.5 hours of static.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, thanks for telling us. Where were you trucking today?
I hauled a load of cattle down to Cargill at High River, and I was coming back from Calgary. Just parked now at home at Camrose.
Oh, good stuff. Okay. Well, we appreciate the call, anyway, Dave.
Good job on your part.
Okay, we appreciate that.
We like this coach. This is our favorite coach, this guy.
780-496-0063. We also have Graydon on the line. Graydon, go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Quite well.
Yeah, well, this road trip's going to be the first real test for the Oilers. And they got a little ways to go. Skinner played a really, really good game. They had some chances in the third period, but didn't capitalize. But, yeah, this is going to be a real test for the Oilers this road trip. So.
Well, I agree. I mean, I'm looking forward to the game against Boston. They're good.
St. Louis,
Winnipeg, Buffalo. Yep. I know Buffalo's actually had a decent start to the season. There's the belief they're going to drop off, but you don't know what's going to happen until it
Well, there's the belief that Detroit's going to drop off, too, so, and Detroit won tonight.
It's back-to-back, and you don't know how the goaltending is. I mean, Bob and I were talking before the game. You could see all three goalies this week, depending on Smith's health. So
that's my guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. Like, disappointing result tonight. They didn't play well enough. The Detroit initiated the game. But, yeah, it was just and you reference this all the time, Rob. When you're behind, you even if you turn it on, you have to have things go almost perfectly. Mm-hmm. You know, which, okay, so you're behind against – let's even ignore 4-1 against the Rangers, even being down 4-2. Well, what do you need? Well, you need a power play early in the third. Oh, got it, scored. Yeah. You know, and then they're down 5-4. Well, what do you need? Well, you need your captain to make one of the greatest plays of all time.
So you're asking for a lot when you start trailing.
And they had, as we said, they had two chances shorthanded. Nedeljkovic made the saves. They had a couple
open
passes in front. Deflections go wide. So – if you're leading your tide, then it's like, okay, well, too bad, but let's just keep going. When you're down, then it's like, well, is that going to be our last chance?
Yeah, you just can't keep testing fate and coming back. And again, these are things that you're preparing for the playoffs. I believe that the Oilers now are a perennial playoff team. And the 82-game regular season is a preparation for that playoff to see who can play in certain situations, where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, where can you fix things, where are you going to excel at. So when you get into the playoffs, now you're set on how your game plan is going to be. Well, the one thing that you're not going to see come playoff time is falling behind by 2-3 goals and continually come back against these teams, because all the teams at that point, they've also improved, and it's the 16 best teams. And after the first round, it's the 8 best teams. So if you're always finding yourself behind in hockey games, you're not coming back against a mid-season New York Ranger team or a mid-season Detroit team. You're now coming back against a seasoned St. Louis or a perennial powerhouse Vegas. It doesn't happen. So that's why you want to prepare to play in the playoffs by getting off to good starts. And instead of chasing games, push the pace. Force Detroit to now all of a sudden get out of their comfort zone and have to catch you in a game that you're playing on the road. Get the lead. And that's one thing that... And then you can play 4 lines, and all of a sudden your 4th line's not playing 6 minutes. When you're chasing games, now you're overextending the minutes of your top players.
Okay, we have Jim on the Certainty Hotline as well. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, any team, you know, in the league don't start early in the first period or get behind, it seems they have a hard time, you know? The first period, most teams get going usually win 1 point or two.
Yeah, well,
there was I can't remember what it was
last
year. We
got to update that stat because it was at least a couple years ago.
And it was over 70% of teams that scored first won their hockey.
At least get a point.
Oh, is that what it was?
At least get a point. Yeah.
So the right there is a pretty good reason to score the first goal in a hockey game. So yeah, you're absolutely right. If the Oilers want to be a championship team, they've got to get off to better starts, because again, I can't stress this too much. The teams that you're going to be playing in the playoffs are going to be the best teams. They're not going to be the teams that give up 3-0 or 3-goal leads. They're the teams that close those games out.
Yeah, and we got to give Detroit credit here.
They played well.
Because they played well, but part of being a good team is, like we were talking about the other night, the game is a problem you got to figure out, and the Oilers didn't figure out that. And for me, too, it's one thing, and I know we got to do the news right away, Kellen, so we'll start this here and develop it more after, and you can still get us at 780-496-0063. To me, it's one thing okay, there's a puck battle, there's a forecheck. Detroit's going to win the puck sometimes.
Yep.
I mean, that's part of the game.
They're still NHL
but
players.
The bigger problem for me was how many times the Oilers actually had the puck and gave it away or got it to the blue line and gave it away. So yep. Detroit didn't even have to touch up to be onside. They're just coming right back in. That was the biggest problem.
Well, you're right. The Oilers created a lot of Detroit's chances. Detroit didn't have to create a lot in the first 20 minutes because the Oilers' mistakes created the chances that the Detroit Red Wings got.
Okay, we're still going to hopefully hear from Connor McDavid tonight and, of course, more time for your phone calls. No Japanese Village goal light tonight. We only turn that on when the Oilers score five or more. And then you can go to 630ched.com, print up a coupon for a free appetizer at Japanese Village. Try the legendary Wagyu steak cooked before your eyes. Reserve now at jvedmonton.ca. We're back after the news and weather. Heartland Ford overtime open line.
Cross ice pass now in over the line. McDavid shoots. Scores! Connor McDavid puts it under the pad.
That's as close as the Oilers got tonight. Connor McDavid scored 38 seconds into the third period. Edmonton trailed 3-2 at that point. They wind up losing 4-2 in Detroit. McDavid's ninth of the season. He has an 11-game point streak to start the year. That is the longest in Oilers history by anyone not named Wayne Gretzky. He shared the 10-gamer to start the year with Sam Gagner, who did that a few years ago while a member of the Oilers. Gagner tonight, congratulations to him, played his 900th career game, and he got an assist on Detroit's first goal.
Yeah, hey, we talked about Sam the other night when the excitement of the game against the Rangers, and we tried to figure out what was the last time we felt that kind of energy in this building? To me, it was the Sam Gagner 8-point night, where that's what it brought me back to me. Like, that's how fun that game was the other night. Unfortunately for the Oilers, they didn't carry that momentum over into tonight.
Okay, we'll go back to the CertainTeed hotline. Daniel has given us a call tonight. Hey, Daniel, thanks for listening. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Hey, I had a question for Rob. Rob, you played for a long time in the league. Do you remember if it was easier or more difficult to get up for the first game of a long road trip?
We always felt that the first game was the most important. Because if you want to have a good road trip, it's easier to win when you win the first game. Now you got some momentum to carry on, and there's less pressure. Whenever you lose the first game, all of a sudden the pressure just ramps up a little bit because you're already one under as you go into game two. And if for some reason you don't win game two, which is a tougher game for the Oilers in Boston, now the pressure ramps up even more. So the first game is always the most important for a team when they go on the road, and unfortunately for the Oilers, I just think they may have been surprised at how good Detroit was capable of playing.
Thanks, Daniel. We appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, you never know. We can't get in their heads. You remember, of course you remember, the goalie fight game.
Yep.
Awesome night. Oilers played great. The next game, they got shut out in Arizona. So I don't know if
Remembers that.
Probably no one's going to remember this game specifically in two or three years or maybe two or three weeks. Who knows? But I don't know if I'm just throwing it out there. Is there perhaps something to that coming off
an emotional,
incredible high that you can't recreate it, or maybe you're feeling a little too good about yourselves? I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. That has always been a problem. And it always is something that worries a coach. There's things that worry a coach. It's when you come off an emotional high of a victory or when the next game on your schedule is some important game, whether it's a battle for first place or it's a revenge game or it's the Battle of Alberta, sometimes you worry as a coach you overlook the game at hand. So this is in one of those places right now where they had that emotional win. They're playing Detroit. Then they got a really big game in Boston, which everyone's excited about. This little game in between against a Detroit team, they're playing better than people had expected. But really, it's the Detroit Red Wings with these young players who aren't going to be able to keep up to the stars of the Oilers. Well, they did. So, yeah, that's why I think that the Oilers maybe overlooked this game and this team a little bit. And it showed early in this hockey game as the Oilers did not look prepared for the speed and the aggressive nature of Detroit, especially on the forecheck.
Also tonight, Oilers did not score a power play goal. They were 0-for-2. The penalty killing did its job. The second penalty kill The Oilers almost scored twice shorthanded, by the way. So Detroit was 0-2 with the power play. Somebody texted in that they thought there should have been more penalties tonight. I don't know about that. There were two trips that should have been called.
One on each team
that, to me, were blatant skates in the sticks in the skates.
Well, and the thing that bugs me about those ones, the one Barry tripped, I think it was Fabry, and Fabry had a scoring chance. He was going around Barry and has a scoring chance, and he had the puck. So it's one, all the refs should be watching the guy with the puck.
Like that was
it wasn't behind the play. There was no crowd of people. It was one-on-one, and he got his stick under his skate, fell down. And the other one was Connor McDavid. Again, he has the puck on his stick, and everyone knows anytime he's got the puck on his stick, it's a chance for scoring chance. He's going full speed in the exact same play where the stick went right under his skate. And again, the ref is right there watching. So those two were the ones that were very, very obvious. Both should have been called. So that's one each way. And Oilers fans know that the more penalties called usually favor the Edmonton Oilers because they have the best power.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Power play in the league.
Oilers fall 4-2 in Detroit. You'll hear from Connor McDavid when we get back to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Game one of the Oilers' five-game road trip is a loss. Detroit wins 4-2, so they bump up their record to 7-5-2. The Oilers are now 9-2. Namestnikov, two goals for the Wings. Larkin scored what turned out to be the game winner. Sider scored into an empty net. Hyman on, Puljujärvi on a breakaway, scored in the final minute of the second period. McDavid scored in the first minute of the third. Cuckoo, Nurse, and Bouchard had assists for Edmonton. What happened there, Rob?
Zadorov for the Calgary Flames absolutely leveled some kid on the San Jose Sharks. I thought the kid was done. I didn't think he was getting up. No penalty, but it was a man 6'6" hitting a man 5'10", and the 5'10" player did not win.
And San Jose scores with 15:42 left in the third to take a 2-1 lead on the Flames. It looked like kind of an innocent long wrist shot that was going to go probably 8 feet wide, and it hits somebody in front. We'll see if, well, it looks like they got the camera on Couture, so we'll see if he deflected that or if it went in off a Calgary player. The shots are a little closer, but still 28-19 for the Flames, so we'll see how this one developed here as San Jose brought it through the neutral zone, shot from the boards. Oh, that
Zadorov
hit the guy, the high guy.
It hit Calgary Flames defenseman Zadorov, and he, a wonderful tip by him. He had Markstrom going the wrong way and tipped it on his own goaltender.
So there was a San Jose player and a Calgary player driving the net, and I thought it hit one of those two guys, but Zadorov was defending the long shot at about the faceoff dot.
He didn't defend it very well.
And he deflected it, and Markstrom's leaning to his right, and the puck goes back to his left, so San Jose jumps ahead 2-1. Back to Detroit. Here's Oilers captain Connor McDavid.
Connor, just quite simply, how did you assess your team's effort tonight to start this five-game road trip?
I didn't love it. Didn't love the start. Dug ourselves a hole again. I liked our response. I liked our third period. You know, we definitely had enough chances to tie the game, but you can't keep digging yourself that type of hole.
What is the message after a game like this? How do you guys regroup? Because you guys still have a pretty lengthy road trip ahead of you.
Yeah, you never lose two in a row. I think that's the main thing. That's the focus now, and that's all we can do.
What did you think of Stuart Skinner's play tonight? I know his second career NHL start.
Yeah, I thought he was good. You know, I thought he did a good job of letting us get into the game. You know, obviously, by the time he found our legs, we were already down three. But I thought, he battled hard, and, you know, we definitely didn't make it easy on him in front of him. I thought he was good.
I know you said you're disappointed in your team's effort tonight, but on the other side, the Red Wings seemed like they were doing a really good job in closing down any open ice, getting sticks on you and Leon specifically. How did you assess their play in tonight's game?
They're good. You know, they played well. Every time we're in this building, it seems to go that way. They check hard, they skate well. They did a lot of good things tonight.
Connor. Obviously, Stuart Skinner played well, but he did have the gaff on the third goal. Was that a case where you guys will really want to try to pick him up after a play like that, considering he had played so well to that point?
Yeah, you know, I think he played well, and obviously a mistake there, but everyone makes mistakes. You know, that's just the way it is.
Did you feel like, you know, when Puljujärvi got that goal, it kind of gave you a little bit of a jump heading into the third period?
Definitely, yeah. You know, we talked down three. You know, we just needed to get it to one and give ourselves a chance in the third period, and we did that. And, you know, Jess makes a good play, and, you know, we score early in the third, and we have lots of chances. And, you know, it's frustrating we couldn't tie it up, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah. Do you feel like you just kind of ran out of time in terms of the way you guys were going?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, you know. Again, you can't start from three down. You know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, that's Connor McDavid. Pretty obvious comment. can't be three down, especially two games in a row. And Tippett said as well, the game against the Rangers didn't necessarily feel like a 4-1 game. This game, the deficit felt a little larger.
Well, in the game against the Rangers, there was a couple goals that you thought, you know, Koskinen has been making that save most of the season, and that one probably he would want to have back. Tonight, through the first 40 minutes, there's probably about five or six that you're surprised that Skinner made the save, because they were that good at scoring chances, and he kept making. So the Rangers weren't dominating the Oilers when they were up 4-1. The Detroit Red Wings were certainly dominating the Oilers tonight when they were up 3-0.
Okay, 4-2 is the final in favor of Detroit. 780-496-0063. If you want to give us a ring, this is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. 4-2, the final, Detroit over the Oilers this evening. Just looking at some of the other stats, 39-33. Detroit with the advantage in shots on goal. The ice time leaders for the Oilers, McDavid plays 25:08, had two shots on goal, went 11 for 16 in the faceoff circle, had a good game there. Draisaitl plays 24:28. Actually, Draisaitl did not have a shot on goal tonight, 8 out of 16 in the faceoff dot. Darnell Nurse played 23:04 and led the Oilers with six shots. Jesse Puljujärvi had five shots. He got a goal. He had a goal tonight, so he's up to six on the season for the Red
Jesse
Wings.
Jesse played very well tonight.
He did. Tyler Bertuzzi for the Wings played 21:03, had four shots. Philip Ronick on defense played 23:09. I believe he was the ice time leader. Oh, no, Nick Leddy played 23:16, so a little bit more. Oilers had the slight face-off advantage, 52%. They won 29. The Wings won 27 face-offs, but the Oilers fall short. And really, as we were saying, the theme is the Oilers had played about a 22-minute game. And most nights, that is not going to be enough. Okay, so the road trip continues, the back-to-back on to Buffalo and Boston. I think the story to watch tomorrow, we'll see if there's an update on Zach Cassian and maybe an update on Mike Smith too.
Yeah, it'd be great to get Smith back in there playing again. To me, and this is just guessing, the fact that Skinner played tonight leads me to believe that they are preparing to have Koskinen just play one of two, and that's why I believe Smith will be back to play one of the games on the weekend. So I'm expecting Smith to be back. The Oilers are hoping that he is, and as far as Cassian, you just hope it's a tweak and it's something that's not any kind of long-term, because Cassian, you know, had a nice start to the season and had solidified a third line, despite the fact he was playing the second tonight, had solidified a third line. Having said that, if he's out, the Oilers' depth is going to get tested, and you're going to see what some players who have been limited with the amount of ice time they've had can do with a little bit more ice.
Kyler Yamamoto finished with three shots on goal. Warren Fogle, who I thought was pretty good in the second half of the game, finished with a shot. Unfortunately, both guys were minus two. The only plus Oiler tonight, well, it was Puljujärvi, wound up plus one for the game. So part of the stat story. So the Oilers now 9-2 on the season. Our next game is, like I said, Thursday at Boston. The faceoff show, 3:30 in the afternoon here on 6:30 Ched. The game is going to start at 5. Rob, quickly, as we're in the final 90 seconds, what was it like for you going into Boston?
Fun. I was a Bruin fan growing up, so I used to love it. Scary, because they had some big, mean players that were very physical against me. I had one of my favorite goals ever, though. I scored my 40th goal of the season in Boston I was back checking. Bob Airey tripped a player. The referee put his hand up. The Boston Bruin player got to the blue line, got poke checked. I thought we had a penalty, so I just turned and shot the puck down the ice, thinking that they were going to blow the whistle. Andy Moe gets skated to their bench because he thought there was a penalty, but the ref put his hand up and then for some reason changed his mind and put his hand down. Their goalie was on the bench. I shot the puck down into an empty net by accident. I wasn't planning on shooting at an empty net. Had I tried, I probably would have missed, but it was ended up being the 40th goal of the season for me.
Well, it's like you said the other day, the good scorers just know where the net is because it's never moved.
It never has. I knew where the net was, but it was mainly a frustration shot that turned into a goal, and there was a long argument with Andy Moog and the referee after that one.
Okay, get more on this game on 630ched.com or globalnews.ca. Bob Stauffer has Oilers Now from noon to 2 tomorrow. I'll have Inside Sports from 6 to 8. Thanks to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer this evening. We've been in the Friesen Brothers broadcast center. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Oilers lose 4-2 in Detroit.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.